Testament. So today we read from Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to be reading from verse 10. Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power. Put on all the armour that God gives you, so that you will be able to stand up against the devil's evil tricks. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So put on God's armour now. Then when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attacks. And after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. So stand ready, with truth as a belt tight around your waist, with righteousness as your breastplate, and as your shoes the readiness to announce the good news of peace. At all times carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. And accept salvation as a helmet, and the word of God as a sword which the Spirit gives you. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, we keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we read and listen to your word together today, and we reflect on these words, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Give us eyes to see the spiritual reality beyond the things that we can touch and taste and see. Give us an understanding of the truth of your scriptures. Lord, help us to hear, help us to listen, and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may have seen on the news earlier this week that this weekend marks the 70th anniversary of the D-Day landings. And there have been many special services and events, both here and over at Normandy, to mark this anniversary. And some of the veterans have been going over to visit, has been reported on the news. In some of the coverage I heard, I enjoyed reading about the 89-year-old war veteran, Mr. Bernard Jordan, from Sussex, who absconded from the nursing home he was in after being banned from travelling over to France. You may have heard of this story. And he was so determined to escape that he organised his own travel by ferry over to Normandy. He joined his fellow veterans for the day. The police were out looking from everywhere, but nobody had a clue that all that time he was over in France, until they returned later with the photographs to prove it, with the four pretty looking French young ladies on either arm, and he also had a wee visit to duty free as well. Mr. Jordan had obviously experienced the reality of war, and he was determined to mark that day by joining his fellow veterans to remember what happened and to remember the friends that never came back. Now, one of the least understood aspects of the Christian life is the reality that we live our life in the midst of a spiritual war zone. The Christian life is a struggle, more often than not, and if we're honest about our own Christian life, we recognise that. Very often it is a struggle. Being a Christian is not easy. But the cross, Jesus' death on the cross, was like the D-Day landings. It was the beginning that marked the end of God's enemy, Satan. But after the D-Day landings, during the war, there were still many battles still to be fought. There were still many struggles. The war was not over, but victory was in sight. And the same is true of our life as followers of Jesus. That Christ has won the victory at the cross. But in between time until he returns, we are part of a spiritual struggle. And there's a spiritual reality all around us that we can so often underestimate and we fail to take seriously. Wars, violence, drugs, breakdown of family and marriage, the persecution of the church around the world, personal struggles with temptation, doubts about God that enter our mind. These are all part of that spiritual struggle. And when it comes to the subject of prayer, which we've been considering these past few weeks, it's even more crucial to understand that when we pray in the context of this spiritual reality and conflict that is all around us. In our reading from Ephesians 6, there are three things I think we find here that we need to give heed to if we want to pray effectively. The first is that when we pray, we need to understand the battle that we're in. One of my favourite preachers and authors, John Piper, said this about spiritual warfare. He said, "Life is war. That's not all it is, but it is always that. Most people do not believe this in their hearts. Most people show by their priorities and their casual approach to spiritual things that they believe we are in peacetime, not wartime." Well, for Paul, this spiritual battle was a reality. And he says there in verse 12, "For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age." Now, Jesus had the same worldview as he preached the kingdom of God. He understood his work as being in conflict with the work of Satan in the world, his enemy. As Jesus preached the truth, as he healed the sick, as he cast out demons, as he forgave sinners and restored people to wholeness, Satan's kingdom was being attacked and shaken. In the first letter of John, chapter 3, verse 8, the apostle says, "The Son of God appeared for this reason." This is Jesus' manifesto. "The Son of God appeared for this reason, to destroy the works of the devil." Jesus' ministry was about bringing in God's kingdom in a world where Satan was running rampant. Lives are ravaged and destroyed by his work, and we see it all around us. And every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we enter spiritual conflict. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. When you pray, "Deliver us from evil," or "Deliver us from the evil one," you're entering a battlefield. Every time you pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," Satan's kingdom is shaken. They're not just words, they're powerful words. And this is a spiritual reality. Whenever you pray, you have entered a battle. And it's vital that we understand this when we pray. And secondly, when we pray, we need to be equipped. You know, no soldier going into battle would go out in his pyjamas, in slippers, without a weapon. If you're going into battle, you make sure that you're equipped. In the same way, a Christian needs to be properly equipped to enter a spiritual battle as well. So Paul says, "For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces." You all right, William? Do you want to go out for a wee minute? want to go out for a wee minute, William? If you take him through the, if you take William through the back just now, okay. Okay. We can sing the last hymn unaccompanied, William, if you need to go home. Okay, don't worry. Paul says, for we are not fighting against human beings, but against wicked spiritual forces. So put on God's armour now. If you don't, you're going to be vulnerable, as any soldier would be. The armour is to defend us against the devil's attacks. So Paul says, so stand ready with truth as a belt around your waist. And when Paul's thinking of a belt, he's not thinking of the kind of belts that we wear just to kind of keep our trousers from falling down. A soldier's belt was also a defensive part of his armour. A Roman soldier attached his sword to his belt, and also there's strips of leather cloth hung down as well, which was there to protect his lower half too. Now Satan is an enemy of the truth, and when we do everything, and he will do everything to undermine that. Which is why Paul says, stand with truth as a belt around your waist. Everything hangs on that, the truth of the gospel. So we need to remind ourselves of the truth. What about righteousness as a breastplate? For a soldier, this is what protected his heart from any incoming arrows. For a Christian, it's vital that we understand that our righteousness comes by our faith in Christ, and not by our own goodness. Well, Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians, I no longer have a righteousness of my own. I now have a righteousness that is given through faith in Christ. Now, Satan tempts us to be proud, and he deceives us into thinking that we can be reliant on ourselves for our own salvation. I need to do better. And if I do better, God will love me more. If I can just be like that, God will accept me. But that's not the gospel. God accepts us because of Jesus Christ, his Son, and what Christ has done for us. So, our righteousness, knowing who we are in Christ, is what protects our heart in a spiritual sense. And as your shoes, the readiness to announce the good news of peace. Now, some army chiefs have heard say before that the most important part of a soldier's kit is his boots. If the boots are not right, it will hinder everything a soldier needs to do his job. If his boots are uncomfortable, if he's not tied his laces right, it will hinder everything. And as we put on our shoes of the gospel of peace, as Paul describes it, we are taking the good news of Jesus and sharing it with others. And it's because by this gospel, Satan's kingdom is shaken and destroyed. The kingdom of God comes about through the gospel, as it's preached, as it's shared, and as we remind ourselves of all the truths of the gospel. And then he says, at all times carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. You know, faith is the heartbeat of the Christian life. Sometimes it can be easy to have faith when things are going well. It's much harder, isn't it, to have faith when things aren't going well. When everything around us is going badly, then our faith is tested often to the limit. Now, Satan wants us to give up. He wants us to doubt God's goodness. He wants us to doubt that God is with us. And it's the faith that perseveres can overcome any attack. And Paul says, accept salvation as a helmet. And a helmet that protects a soldier's head. And the helmet of salvation protects our mind. And Satan's prime way of attacking us is through our mind. It's where he plants doubts, and it's where he exploits our temptations and our weaknesses. We need to know that we are saved, and we need to know who we are in Christ. A good soldier knows who he is, knows what his job is, and knows who he is fighting for, so that when the going gets tough, he knows exactly what to do. As disciples of Jesus, the most important thing that we can know is who we are in Christ. Christ has given us authority, he's given us power to pray powerful prayers that can actually change things. And it's when we pray in this way, we pray from a place of security and strength, knowing that Christ is our Saviour, that we are eternally loved, that he died for our sins and rose again from the dead for us. We need to know that when we pray. And then the word of God is the sword which the Spirit gives you. Now, remember Jesus' conflict with Satan in the wilderness. How did Jesus come against Satan's attacks and the temptations that he threw at him? So remember, each of those three times, Jesus quotes the scriptures. He quotes the word of God. So Jesus attacks with the word of God. So I think that's why Paul describes it as a sword. It's an attacking weapon that does great damage to the enemy. Jesus used it, and we need to learn to use it as well. And to pray effectively, we need to know our Bible. We need to pray through the Bible and reflect on the Bible in our prayers too. And in the Bible we have a powerful weapon that can give us encouragement, it can increase our faith, it can raise us up to a point where we understand who we are in Christ, and we can pray with real authority and power into situations. And lastly, when we pray, now, Paul shows us here that God helps us win. God helps us to win. And he says in verse 18, do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. In this spiritual battle, we are not alone. In Paul's letters, an important aspect of the Christian life is that in some way we are united with Christ. Think about that phrase for a minute, that we are united with Christ. And he says in verse 10 here, finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord by means of his mighty power. We aren't fighting in our own strength, but we pray and we fight in the strength of the Lord. I saw a film recently. Again, it was one of these really arty films I told you about a few weeks ago, Pacific Rim, which is all guns and shooting and monsters and all that kind of thing. This film, Pacific Rim, where the world has been attacked by these giant monsters. And the only thing that the human race can do to actually save the world from these giant monsters is to create huge robots that are as big as what they are. These things are absolutely gigantic, as big as a skyscraper, a huge building. And how these robots work is that a human being goes inside and acts as the pilot. So as they move their arms and their legs, they actually have the strength of this great big robot. It's like a sort of exoskeleton that gives them superhuman strength. Having God on your side is a bit like that. It's a bit like having robotic arms and robotic legs, that you're not working in your own strength. You're working in the strength of God. God is infinitely more powerful than we are, but in union with Christ, we can face any foe. Now, when my kids were young, one of the things they've always done is that they stand on my feet, you know, facing out the way, and then I've held their hands, and they want to walk on Daddy's feet as I'm walking forward. And it's not them doing the walking, it's me doing the walking, but they feel big and strong because they're walking with Dad. And that's what walking with Christ, being in union with Christ, is like. We're not in our own strength, we're in God's strength. John Knox, who was the founder of the Church of Scotland, said, "One man plus God is always a majority." Think about that. Sometimes when things are bad, we feel outnumbered, we feel weak, we feel scared. But with God, we have a vast army behind us. We are always in a majority. God gives us the strength and the endurance we need to pray when we need to pray. Now, sometimes prayer is caricatured as the soft option. It's the easy way out of a situation. It's what weak people do. But in the Bible, prayer is warfare. There is nothing soft or weak about prayer. And whether you like it or not, the moment you begin to pray, you are entering a battlefield. When we pray, we need courage, we need boldness, we need endurance to pray with faith, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And know that the gates of hell are being shaken whenever we pray those words. And as we pray in faith, according to God's will, situations are changing, lives are transformed, our nation is being brought back from the tide of evil and the work of Satan, and God's kingdom is pushing forward. We need to know these things, that when we pray, our prayers are powerful. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, help us to have spiritual eyes to see the reality in front of us. When we see the devastation of drugs and alcohol in our community, we see this spiritual conflict. When we see families and marriages in difficulty, we see this spiritual conflict. Where we see unemployment and depression, and we see despair and a lack of hope in our young people, we see this spiritual reality. When we hear around the world of Christians being persecuted for their faith, we realise there is a real conflict going on. Lord, we do not fight against flesh and blood, for you sent Jesus for the world. But Lord, you call us to go into battle in prayer, to fight on the behalf of others and on behalf of ourselves, that we see you as victorious, Christ our King, who won the victory at the cross and who will finally defeat the enemy when he returns. Lord, help us to have faith. Help us to endure. Help us always to put on our gospel armour, to be prepared when we pray. Help us to pray with authority and power and the strength that you give. In Jesus' name, amen.